You know, there's a lot of crazy things that go on in America. Somebody wrote, America is the only place where a lady can hire a maid to clean her house so she'll have time to go volunteer at the local daycare center where that same maid keeps her children. It makes you really think about how wealthy we are in our country. We do have a lot of wealth. I talked a couple of weeks ago about the people of Haiti. I went down there in 2008 on a mission trip. And back at that time, the average person in Haiti made between $900 and $1,000 a year. I did a little more research on that, and I found out that it's risen a little bit. They now make between $1,800 and $2,400 a year. That is, they make about $150 to $200 a month to live on, the average person in Haiti. The Haitians have a dollar, like our dollar, except it's called a gourd, and one American dollar is worth 65 gourds. Listen to what a gourd, what 65 gourds will get you in Haiti today. It'll buy you 1 pound of rice. It'll buy you 1 pound of apples, 2 pounds of bananas, 2 pounds of potatoes, 1 pound of onions, 12 eggs, 1 pound of local cheese, or 1 loaf of bread. That's how poor they are in Haiti. And you know, a lot of times we think about we're not rich, but compared to many people, we are rich. In fact, we live in one of the richest nations in the world. Even those that live on low income in America live better than the average Haitian person does. Several years ago, back in the late 1980s, it was election time, 1988, and Charles Barkley told his mother, "Mom, I voted for George H.W. Bush, President 41. And his mom said, "Charles, that's the rich man's president." Charles Barkley, being an NBA player, said, "Mom, we are the rich man." And you know, when it comes to comparing to the rest of the world, we are the rich people. And we need to come into an understanding of that, that we have way more wealth than many people throughout this world. We're continuing our series on money today. And over the past few weeks, we've talked about, you know, what a godly perspective looks like, that God owns everything, and that he allows us to be the stewards of some things that he has given us to manage for him. We have to come with that kind of perspective, to have a godly perspective of money. We talked about, how do we get money? We said we work for it. We work for it honestly, and we work for it for the glory of God when we work for it. We talked about, what do we do with money? That we spend it very carefully, that we save it very wisely, and that we give it very generously or share it very generously. But today we're going to think about the dangers of money, because there can be some dangers associated with having a lot of money. So we raise the question, what are the dangers of wealth? And there are many. In fact, after I wrote this sermon, I thought about even some more that I could talk about. But we're going to talk about a few of the dangers of money today. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "The love of money is the source of all kinds of evil." Now, it doesn't say money is evil. It says the love of money is the source of all kinds of evil. So we can get so caught up that we love money. And the danger is that we'll love money more than we love God. When God teaches us that we should love him first and foremost, the greatest command, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. When we get money ahead of God and other people, we fall out of grace with God. And so we want to make sure that we have the right perspective on this money. Now, listen to me. Just because somebody has money does not mean that God has blessed them. There are evil people who have money. There are people involved in criminal activity who have a lot of money. So just because somebody has wealth doesn't mean God is blessing them. And just because you don't have a lot of money doesn't mean God is not blessing you. God blesses us in all kinds of ways. And it may be a blessing that you don't have money. Money may get you into trouble. We've already talked about that in this series. So we want to think about this money. And we want to think about the dangers that we fall into if we have a lot of money. Now, it is okay to have wealth. We've already talked about that. We can be blessed and be content in whatever status that we come to in this world. So today we're going to think about these dangers. I'd like for you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. Now, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and this church had was a growing church, but they had a few problems, and Paul's trying to help them straighten out some of the problems that we have and to encourage them. And Timothy is there ministering to this church. That's why it's called Timothy, 1 Timothy. And so Paul is writing to this church to clear up some things that they had going on and also a wrong attitude that they had about money. In 1 Timothy 6:5, he says about some of those who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. You see, what he's saying is just because you're godly doesn't mean God's going to make you rich. So he wants to make sure they have the right perspective of money. So let's read 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. So as we think about this passage today, I want us to think about how money can affect our lives. Remember, we are rich. And here I want to draw four dangerous temptations. Now, a temptation is not a sin. It's what you do after you're tempted that determines whether you fall into sin or not. So let's look and break this passage down. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 6:17 and just look at the first phrase there. Command the rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Now I want you to think about that for just a minute. And here's the first dangerous temptation. It is pride. You know, some translations translate the word arrogant, conceited, or haughty. The King James Version says high-minded. They all tend to lead us to that word arrogant. It's prideful. It's having pride. And wealth can cause us to become proud and think that we're better than other people. Now, there's different kinds of pride. There's a good kind of pride. I'm proud to be a Christian. And so that's a good kind of pride. The word pride can mean to delight in or find satisfaction in something. Some of you will remember the Grand Ole Opry, the comedian, female comedian, Minnie Pearl, used to come out. And what would she say when she first came out? I'm just so proud to be here. And she had her little hat on with the price tag hanging off of it. She's probably going to return it the next day. But we can have a good kind of pride. But there's also a bad kind of pride. Well, Paul talks about the good kind of pride in 2 Corinthians 7:4. He says, I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. So he was proud of this church. But there's a bad kind of pride. That's the kind of pride that looks to self. It delights in self and it delights in taking credit for everything that I do. And it's all because of me that I have what I have. The Bible warns against that kind of pride. It's that superiority kind of pride. In fact, the Bible warns against it in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, when our pride is kind of haughty, when we think we're better than everybody else, we fall into this danger. And a lot of times that can happen when we have great wealth. We think, look at how God's blessed me. Look at how good I am. Look at all that I've done. And it becomes about me. I is all we think about. You know, we could become that way. We could compare ourselves to the Haitians, for example. And we look to the Haitians and we say, well, you know, they don't have nothing down there because they're just not faithful to God. But that's not true. A lot of the problems that they have in Haiti is not the fault of the Haitian people. It's the fault of bad governments that they've had over and over again. And if you look in on the Haitian people and you think about what they have, they don't have a lot of the material things that we have. They don't have the health care that we have. They don't have the institutions that we have. They don't have the government structure that we have here. They don't have the police force that we have. They don't even have the natural resources that we had. But when I was in Haiti, I witnessed many faithful Haitian people who loved God and were content as they could be with the simple little life that they had. You know, we can compare and start thinking we're above them and we're more holy than them. But remember what Romans 3:10 says, there is none so righteous, no, not one. So we need to be careful about comparison. And pride can cause us to reach a level of complacency and think, I don't need anybody else and I don't need God even. We can even stop attending church and stop serving God because we come so dependent on our wealth. So don't be arrogant. Don't be prideful. That's what the text says. Now let's look at the next phrase in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Nor to put their hope in wealth. And that leads us to the second danger. The second dangerous temptation can be materialism. Listen to some of these old cliches. You've probably heard these before. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Or he who dies with the most toys wins. Our money won't buy happiness, but it sure does bring a smile. Somebody said the only the poor people say that money won't buy happiness. You ever heard that one before? Or what about this one statement? The more you get, the more you want. You know, I found that to be true. And that can lead us down this path of materialism. That kind of thinking takes you to the point where you think that the physical things of this world are what matter to make my life happy. Stuff is the key to happiness, we think. Or money is the key to happiness. That's not true. And it's not biblical. Our society tries to push this off on us. Turn on the TV and what do you see? Commercials trying to tell you, if you just had this product, life would be great. This will make your life better. That will make your life better. Get this new car. Get this lotion. Get this hair color. Get all this stuff and your life is going to be fantastic. And so often, it just leads us down a road and it never satisfies. Comedian Ken Davis said he walked in one day and his daughter was standing there with a string tied around her tooth and it was tied to the doorknob. And you know what she was trying to do? She was going to slam the door and pull her tooth. And he said, let me check that tooth. And he checked it and he said, that tooth's not even loose. She said, leave me alone, Dad. I need the money. You see, that's where materialism can take you. And so often we fall into that trap. We get caught up in this money. And you know, some of us are even worse than the prodigal son we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Remember what he said? Give me my inheritance, Dad, before you die. And I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, I'm spending my kids' inheritance before I die. You see, that's worse than the prodigal son. So we get caught up, and some of us go into debt. And we're in debt. Remember the guy riding on the lawnmower in the commercial? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. And you know, we seek this stuff to bring happiness, and It just won't do it. In fact, we can end up living in a pig pen. And we work like a slave just to keep ourselves afloat. And materialism trusts in wealth for happiness. And it can cause us not to depend on God. But look at what Timothy said. Put your hope, not to put your hope in wealth. So that can lead to materialism. Look at the next part of verse 17. But to put their hope in God. Why do you think Paul wrote that? You think the people of the church needed to hear that? Sure they did. Why? Because they weren't doing it. They were putting their hope in wealth. They saw God. Remember what he said in verse 5 of chapter 6. They saw God coming to God as a means to great wealth. And that's not necessarily true. And that leads us to this third dangerous temptation. And that is self-reliance. You know, that's the opposite of what God is telling us to do. You know, we put our hope in self. You ever heard of a self-made man? Anybody ever say, hey, boy, he's a self-made man? I'm still trying to figure out how you do that. Last time I checked, it takes a father and a mother, and it takes God to be involved to make a human being right. But we know kind of what they mean when they say self-made man. We mean it probably means he started out with nothing and he's gained great wealth over the years and he seems to be a successful person. But if we are relying totally on ourselves, we can end up at a point where we forget about God. That's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing to work hard and to have a lot of stuff. It's even a greater thing to hold on to it into retirement. But we can get that self-made attitude, and we can get this inward focus where it's all about me. I need this, and I don't need you, and I don't need God because I have done this, and I have made all this stuff. God started early on with his people, reminding them that they need to trust in him. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to just read for you. This is a rather long section, but it bears reading and it bears listening to. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse 10. They're getting ready to enter the promised land that God was giving the Israelite people as they come out of slavery. And Moses writes this to them. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands and his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast, dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something that your ancestors never had known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, now get this, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. You see what he's saying? When we get all this stuff, we may begin to say, oh, my hands have done this. It's all about me. I've done this. And we fall into that self-reliance when all along the scripture says it was God who enabled us to do whatever it is that we do. Jesus also taught in Mark chapter 8 verse 34, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? You see, we have to depend on God. Because it's okay to have stuff, and it's nice to have stuff, but when we start depending on our ability and don't recognize that it's God who gives us the ability, we move away from God and why He even created us. So we want to be careful not to become self-reliant. Now look at verse 18 in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and read this with me. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And that leads to the fourth dangerous temptation, and that is greed. Do good, it says. Do good deeds. Share. Share your time. Share your talent. Share your treasure. That is the money that God has allowed you to have. That's the opposite of greed. And we can fall into that temptation of greed if we have money. You know what greed is? Greed is an unsatisfiable desire for more than you need. It's when you have all that you need and you just keep gathering stuff because you want more and you want more and you want more. And you're not generous toward anyone outside of your circle. We come into the world kind of that way. You know, babies will scream until their stomach's filled. Toddlers will grab toys away from their playmates. And unless they have good parents to correct them along the way and teach them, they will grow up to be greedy humans, greedy adults. So we have to learn that it's not all about me. We come into this world with this bent towards self-satisfaction. And it's easy for rich people to fall in that. You know the saying, the more you get, the more you want. Somebody said it's hard to go back and drink vinegar after you've tasted honey. And when we get stuff, a lot of times we become greedy. And I've seen greedy people that would do anything to hold on to their wealth. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, they will even commit murder to hold on to their wealth. Now, it's okay to have stuff if you can afford it. But it's not the key to happiness. In fact, sometimes wealth can move us away from the happy life. And it can take us into these dangerous temptations where we even fall away from God. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Perhaps that's the key to happiness. I heard about during Y2K. Now, some of you are not old enough to remember Y2K. But in 1999, our great country came up with this idea, and it was all over the world, that, you know, your computers are going to blow up when it rolls over to 2000. Because they have these double zeros at the end of their date, and now everything has four numbers, right? When you put in your date of birth, you have to put 19. Mine's 59. I'm old, I know. Okay? But used to, you just put the last two digits and everybody knew what it meant. And they said, oh, these computers won't know if it's 1800 or 1900 or 2000. They won't know. And the computers are going to all mess up and life is going to, everything's going to go. You better take all your money out of the bank. You know, some people racked up their credit cards because they thought the world was going to end. And it was crazy. And there was this one casino on the Mississippi River in East St. Louis, and they decided to take advantage of this. And so they put up this big billboard on I-64 going into Illinois, and as they were approaching the exit for the casino, and it said, if the end is near, go out rich. Bet it all, you know, just bet it all and try to go out rich. Well, if we're going out, it doesn't matter what kind of money you have. But a lot of people bought into that kind of attitude. If the end is near, go out rich. I want you to think about these dangerous temptations. Don't be arrogant, that is prideful. Don't fall into putting your hope in wealth, that's materialism. Put your hope in God, the opposite of that is self-reliance. And don't fall into this dangerous temptation of greed. But do good and be generous to other people. And you know, look at this last verse here in chapter 6, verse 19. In this way they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. And here's our connection. Avoiding these temptations can help us maintain a proper foundation for a good relationship with God. You see, money brings in all kinds of dangerous temptations, and they can get in the way of your relationship with God. They can also get in your way of relationship with other people. In Bob Russell's book that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, Money, A User's Manual, he writes this story. I heard a preacher tell of sitting on a plane beside a young executive who was obviously depressed. When the young man learned that he was sitting next to a minister, he began pouring out his heart. He said, "My goal in life was to become a millionaire by the time I was 35. I had nothing to start with, but I reached my goal and I'm a millionaire. But my life is not right," he said. "I don't communicate well with my kids. They're in trouble and they're snobs. My wife is threatening to leave me because I've not paid attention to her." He concluded, "I have spent my life climbing the ladder of success. Now I get to the top and discover the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall." Russell goes on to say, "If we intend to honor God in the way we handle our finances, we must first change our thinking about money." And that begins with what I've been teaching the last 4 weeks, to remember a godly perspective. It all belongs to God. He just allows us to use it and to be stewards of it. So be good stewards of it. And to get it honestly. And when we get it, what do? With it? We spend it carefully, and we invest it wisely, and we share it generously. And then we watch out for these pitfalls, that we don't fall in to the temptations that come along with having money. It's okay to have money. Just do it God's way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your teaching on money, for your guidance that you've given us. And help us to be a people, first of the book, first that love you, and that love your word, and that love other people, and that we use our money, the finances, the wealth that you give us, Lord, for that end, to bring glory to you, and to serve our fellow man. And Lord, you have promised that we will have all that we need if we follow your principles, and that you will bless our lives. So help us as we go forward to keep these thoughts in mind. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray and praise. Amen.